I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, when the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy! Ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!"
Once again, we say welcome aboard. It's good to be with you at this time. Brother Munn speaking. Our program here called The Mariner's Call. What a blessing to be with you by means of radio. Years ago, the Lord took this old commercial fisherman off of an old book, off of an old boat. I better get it right, had I not. Off of an old boat in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and placed us in the book of God. And from that boat, we came to God's book. And in this book, oh, I found a great Savior. Also found a great sinner there. You know who the Savior was? That's right, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who the old sinner was? Amen. That was me. I'm glad to have found that Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm glad that I was shown by the Spirit of God, my friend, my sins, and how my sins was placed upon Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And how, my friend, my confidence and trust was in the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ on Calvary. I'm glad to be saved, regenerated, redeemed. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It's so good to be with you. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, let's talk about mankind. In general, what about mankind? What about man? You know, this little study is going to get us on a battlefield, so to speak. But let's get some things that the Bible said. Now, the scientific study for man, of course, we think about the realm of anthropology. It comes from the word anthropos, the study of man. But the only true source of information on man that we can trust is the Bible. So we'll go here, Genesis chapter 1, and let's just go to the first verse. Thank you for being there again. If there's some way we can help you, please feel free to correspond with us. In fact, our announcer at the end of the program will give you an address whereby you can write to us as well as find us on the computer on the World Wide Web. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." My, what a statement. We think about mankind. What about his generation? The entire Bible has been inspired and written and preserved just for man. And it contains all the doctrines of God. And the teachings we think we find here in this book are for man. Therefore, it's necessary to consider what the Bible says about man. So what does the Bible say? In the beginning, God. The concept presented and accepted today, even by some professing Christians, is that of evolution. Through a series of natural developments and the aggression of matter through the ages, man just appeared. Man just the offspring of the animals. Our nearest ancestors, the apes. Baloney. Don't turn me off until you get to the end of what I say. There's a gap between mankind and the animals that nobody has ever bridged. They say, what we have here is a missing link. That's a joke, my friend. When you get down to the facts, the Bible flatly contradicts. We think about the theory of evolution. Man is different from the animals. Man can be educated. He has reasoning powers. He can communicate through articulate speech. People say, oh, you can do that to animals. No, you can't. I'm sorry. No, you can't. You know, let's try to trick people. I used to trick people by showing them that I had a dog that could talk. You said, did you have a dog that could talk? Yeah, I sure did. You said, explain to me what you're talking about. I could say to my dog, now I forget which one as far as its name, because I don't want to lie on this radio station here and through these radio programs. I forget the dog's name, but I could tell him something like this. I say, hey, come here. And he would come here and I said, you tell me what is on top of this house? And he'd go, roof. I'd say, that's correct. See there, I told you. He'd laugh, and he said, that's the only thing he got. I said, no, he can say something else. What is the texture of sandpaper? He would say, rough. And he said, well, Brother Mon, you're being stupid. You're being foolish. That's how people act when they try to connect you. That's the facts that they have when they try to connect you with the animal kingdom. And mankind can be educated once again. He can communicate through articulate speech. Animals have instinct, yes, but I have intellect. There's no bloodline between the animals and man. What do we have? Genesis chapter 1, I'm just going to read it, verse 27. Here it is. I'm sorry, it just slaps people right in the face. It says, so God created man in his own image. So we have man was created by a direct act of God. In the beginning, God created. I like that. That's an attack on atheism. In the beginning, God. I'm sorry. What was in the beginning? God. You said, I don't believe in God. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change a thing, you know. You can say, I don't believe. That doesn't change at all. You know, in Noah's day, somebody could say, I don't believe it's going to rain. Did that stop the rain? Why, no, it did not. It's just foolishness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So that's all of your mythology and all your gods is thrown out of the window or out the window. In the beginning, God created. That's an attack on all your Greek philosophers, those who believe in what we call the eternity of matter. Matter wasn't in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. So all the elements of science is really in the first 10 words. Time and space and motion and matter and energy. Time in the beginning. Motion, God created. Space, the heaven. We think about matter, the earth. We think about energy, God created. And also the Trinity, by the way, is involved in this creation because it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let us make man our likeness. All the way at the Godhead involved. So, mankind created by a direct act of God, created in the divine image of God. And God said, let us make man in our image. People say, what does God look like? Well, what did Jesus look like? Jesus in the book of Hebrews is described as being, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the express image of his person. Romans chapter 8. What? Verse 3, Jesus came to this earth in the likeness of man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, in the form of man. We think about our Savior, physical resemblance. God is a spirit, people say, but he can manifest himself to the eye where you can see him. Where do you get that, preacher? John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So there's physical resemblance here. Created in the very divine image of God. There was also moral resemblance here, by the way. This is that Adam lost when he sinned. He lost his innocence. Man created a trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. Thus in God's image. Man is tripartite. He has three parts there. Just like God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man is also created with responsibilities. Adam had reasoning power. He had intellect, so he could think, and God dealt with him as such. He was told to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and have dominion over it, in verse 28. Then Adam was a king. Adam acted as king of this earth. He was to keep the garden. He was to name the animals. He was to obey God, a perfect being created by a perfect God, put in a perfect place, live forever in a perfect way. Did it happen that way? Yes. Did it continue that way? Oh, there is an enemy, is it not? An enemy, not only the enemy of God, but also the enemy of man. What happened? Genesis chapter 3, you know the story. Man was created to live in perfect accord and peace and harmony with his Creator, but man forfeited that blessed position through deliberate disobedience. Someone said this, there's five steps in the fall of man. He listened to slanders against God. He doubted God's word. He looked upon the forbidden. He lusted after that God had prohibited. And he just clearly disobeyed the clear commands of God. So you know what happened to man? His generation created by God. His degeneration, what happened to him? Man became a deposed monarch, a deposed king, thrown out of God's garden. His body diseased and death-ridden. his mind of the flesh, his heart now deceitful, his spirit dead. He's under the wrath of God. He's guilty before God. He's a child of wrath. Everything about his nature, tainted by sin, depraved as far as the body is concerned. You can read about it in Romans 1 and Romans chapter 3. Sin now is universal, a loss of communication with God. Man is under God's condemnation, and there's nothing he can do about it. Man is a degenerate part of God's creation. You know, isn't that sad? And there's no hope. There's no hope. You said, Brother Munn, is there hope? There's no hope for man as far as help with man. Religions of the world try to come to assist. You know, religions of the world, I don't care what religion you're talking about and what false denomination, you know, you can take them all, put them in a bag, shake them all together. I don't know which one would fall out first as far as corruptness is concerned. I don't know how to talk about that. But religion just tries to get you back to God. I'm sorry, it won't work. Man cannot get himself back to God. God has to make the move. And he did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Man's degeneration, can he be regenerated? Oh, yes. God alone is the only one that can repair the damage. How do we put it? Well, let's look at it this way. Having once made us, can he not have power to make us anew? How? Christ, the very image of God, took our sins upon himself. He became the sin bearer for those who trust his work of redemption, my friend. In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I am now partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1. I am living proof of God's hand of restoration. I was a sorry degenerate man. Years ago, until January the 2nd, 1966, I'm glad to know Christ as my Savior. I'm glad now I have a promise of this restored image of a resurrection of immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. As we've borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, you know. Immortality, you know. This mortal must put on immortality. That's my prospective future, and it's only that that's in Christ. I also have a possible reign on this earth. How would you like to know what Adam and Eve really had? 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you suffer with him, you shall reign with him. I don't know if I could ever qualify. If we suffer with him, many in the past did so, we shall reign. The reign that's mentioned there in Revelation chapter 20, the millennial reign. And then I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What do I have to look forward to? You know, not only we think about a restored image and immortality, a possible reign. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We look forward to the taking away. Yeah, leaving this earth, but I like verse 18. It says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, forever with my Savior. My, what a hope. Man's creation, my friend. Then his degeneration. Then his regeneration. Isn't it something that God was so good not to leave us in a degenerated state? Thank God for Calvary. Is Christ your Savior? Have you trusted him? If so, what a wonderful future ahead. Now until next week, Fisher Munn saying goodbye.